just march right back to your seats. Thank you very much. I love that song. It's just been going over in my head the last several days, over and over and over again. And I was going to tell Tempa, hey, how about marching to Zion? And I'm sure she showed it to me at breakfast. That's why it's stuck with me the last few days. A great song. Welcome, everybody. Oh, is it your turn today, Abijah? All right, come on, lead him out of here. Next, go help him. Go help him. Go help him, Aviella. Lisa's going to come and read the scriptures for us as soon as the young people exit out of here. We didn't do it last week because it was 45 verses. This week is 13, so Lisa's going to come read those for us.
We're in Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, beginning with verses 1 through 13. Daniel chapter 12. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteous, like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the time of end. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on the bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? And I heard the man dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be complete. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end of time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Well, if you're just joining us this morning, we're wrapping up the book of Daniel. We've been in it for a number of weeks. We haven't exhausted the whole book expositionally, as is our custom, but we've kind of skipped through the book, picking up on, I believe, important things that we will use when we begin our study of Revelation next week, Lord willing. A retired pastor relating humorous incidents that occurred during his many years of ministry tells the story of a problem-plagued funeral service he once conducted. Just as he was beginning the service, a woman in the back of the church called out for help. Apparently, a man in the congregation had collapsed from a heart attack and was lying on the floor. Managing to keep the victim alive until the medics came, the man was rushed off to the hospital. After this significant delay, the pastor once again attempted to return to the funeral service. The graveside service was miserably cold and wet, with rain continuing to fall. Everyone tried to crowd in under the little tent that is just for the family only. Everyone packed themselves in there. And all of a sudden, the small heater that was set up to try to keep the family warm caught on fire. Just as the pastor was beginning to read the encouraging words, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, right then the funeral director dove through the people and attempted to unplug the heater that was now on fire, and he knocked all the floral arrangements everywhere. Once more, the group gathered under the little tent, and the wary pastor began to read Romans chapter 8 once again. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels," from the corner of his eye, the pastor could see that the funeral director was studying the tent of the roof, which was now sagging from the water of the rain that was collecting, and it was producing a sizable pool. Hoping to drain the ever-growing puddle of water pushing up on the tent of the roof with his umbrella, the funeral director ripped a hole through the umbrella top, and the cold, icy cold water spilled all over the pallbearers, who yelped and hollered from the cold, chilling water. The pastor questioned the wisdom of even trying to continue, but that's our job as pastors. So he decided to once again read the precious words from Romans 8. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels," gratefully he was able to complete the service. I've conducted a number of funerals myself, and one that really sticks out in my mind was my father-in-law, Guy Rhodes. It rained so hard that day, and we couldn't get the sound system to work, and somehow we got through it. And I thought about this story as I read it, because we too went to the graveside, and it was raining, it was cold and windy, but we were able to get through it. Funerals have to confront the ugly reality of death and the reminder that each one of us must come to terms with it. Death usually prompts each of us, if we're close to it, to re-examine what life is truly all about and what really comes after death. The final chapter of the book of Daniel is occasioned in large measure by Daniel's approaching death. The last words of this chapter and of the entire book speak of death and of the believer's hope beyond the grave. So really, this is a great conclusion to a very powerful book concerning, you recall, Daniel's people. Daniel prayed wanting to know, what about my people? Things aren't going so well for them back in Jerusalem. And God has given Daniel a number of revelations outlining for him from his day and Babylon, their domination of the Jewish nation would be under Gentile domination throughout all the rest of human history until Christ returns. This final 12th chapter serves as the conclusion to the book and to Daniel's fourth and final revelation, which we began a few weeks back. Remember, chapters 10 through 12 is one long prophetic vision. The prophetic revelations in this lengthy section were delivered to Daniel by the angel Gabriel, who God sent in response to Daniel's prayers on behalf of his people and his nation. While chapter 10 served as the introduction to the revelation, chapter 11, that we spent a couple of weeks on because of its length, provided a prophetic panorama of conflicts that would plague the nation of Israel from Daniel's day all the way to the end of time. Chapter 12, that we are going to look at this morning, concludes this revelation with a description of the suffering associated with the Great Tribulation period and a prediction of the resurrection of all the righteous Old Testament saints at the second coming of Christ. The final words spoken to Daniel in verse 13 are words of comfort and hope. He would soon enter into his rest through death, but he is promised that he will rise again and receive his rewards at the end of the age. These words provide comfort and hope to believers of every age, and I hope they will provide you with comfort and hope this morning. Structure of the book of this chapter: the final chapter can be divided up into three sections. The first four verses provide additional details on Israel's future distress and deliverance. And this will prompt two questions, one by an angel in verse 6 and one by Daniel in verse 8, concerning the duration and the final outcome of Israel's sufferings. That's the big section, verses 5 through 12. And the book will conclude in verse 13 with Daniel being commanded or instructed by the angel Gabriel to take his rest. And he concludes by giving the prophet a promise that he will be raised unto rewards at the end of the age. So let's take a look at it then. Verses 1 to 4, first of all, Israel's future distress and deliverance. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. This is one of those places in your Bible where it's obvious that the chapter divisions were not inspired by God. They were added after the fact, actually by a monk in the 12th century riding around on horseback. He put the chapter divisions in the Bible. Could you imagine? Well, here he missed it. He must have hit a big bump or fell off the mule or something. I don't know. Because the first three verses of this 12th chapter actually continue the lengthy revelation that Gabriel delivered to Daniel in chapter 11, verses 36 to 45, concerning Antichrist's future reign of terror against God's people Israel. Gabriel informs Daniel that at that time, at that future time under Antichrist's horrific purge of God's people during the tribulation period, during Antichrist's future reign of terror, which was discussed in the previous section, verses 36 to 45, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over your people Israel, will arise to help the righteous Jews who come to faith in Christ during this horrific time. This angelic battle between Michael and Satan is confirmed for us over in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. We read John's words in Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Satan's being cast out of heaven to the earth at the midpoint of the tribulation period will begin what is called the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 7-year tribulation. The angel Gabriel says that this will be a time of great distress, such as has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. The Lord Jesus Christ himself affirms these words in Matthew 24, 21 to 22. Then, in that future day, there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. It's going to be such a horrible time that if it wasn't for God's grace and his timetable and his coming back and putting a stop to it, there wouldn't be anybody left alive on the planet. Do we have that capability today? Yeah, we do, don't we? That's a continual worry. And much of that will be unleashed during this last half of the tribulation period, but Jesus Christ himself shall return and cut those days short. While Michael will come to Israel's aid in this future cosmic battle with Satan, and really in some ways he's come to Israel's aid and he is Israel's guard and protector throughout the ages, and why certain things have, like the Holocaust, why did God permit that to happen? Where was Michael in all of that? Well, he was in Israel. He wasn't in Germany, apparently. I don't know. We don't know. We can't answer some of these things. But we're told here that Michael is the great prince over Israel. And in this future day, he will arise to come to Israel's aid. But ultimately, it is Christ who delivers the righteous and judges the wicked. Look at the final line of verse 1. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. I like this book. This is the book of life. According to Revelation 20, verse 12, this is a chronicle or a record that contains the name of every human being who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Gabriel assures Daniel that every Jew who places their faith in Christ during the tribulation period, Their name will be recorded in God's book of life, and they will be rescued. Many believe that the book of life was actually written before the foundation of the world, that every believer, every person that would ever come to faith, belief in God in the Old Testament, the promises of God, looking forward to the coming Messiah. For you and I, we look back at the cross and we thank God for the historical fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, and we look forward to the second coming of Christ. All of us who believe, Old Testament, New Testament, our names have been recorded in that book already. Many believe that every person ever born, that every person's name was written in the book of life because it is the book of life. It is life that comes to every person. But those who refuse God's grace, their names are blotted out of the book. I don't know. That's why they go to seminary and pay big money to argue over these things over lunch. And the professors just come through and listen to these arguments and just... Many of these things we can't answer. We don't know. But the good news is, folks, to take away from this section, your name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. We receive eternal life through faith in what Jesus Christ has provided for us with his death on Calvary's cross. Israel's future deliverance and judgment, verses 2 to 3. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, these referring to those whose names are recorded in the book, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Gabriel informs Daniel here that those who sleep in the dust of the ground, both believers and unbelievers, will eventually be raised to everlasting life. You've heard that said before, haven't you? That all of us are created to live forever. The question is, what's your address going to be? Is it going to be in heaven with God and all the righteous of all ages, or is it going to be in the other place? This reference here to everlasting life, this is the first time this is mentioned in the Old Testament, everlasting life. To sleep in the dust of the ground, we've studied this before in the writings of Paul, so this should be familiar with most of you. To sleep in the dust of the ground does not mean unconscious existence. It simply means that a dead person's body appears to be asleep. Would everybody agree with that? We've all been, I think all of us have been to funerals, and if you take a cruise by the casket, what's the dead person doing? He's sleeping. His physical body is sleeping. That's what it appears, and that's the biblical description of death. The physical body is asleep. And not too long after it goes to sleep, has anybody ever dug up a body? Temple was just telling me about some crime mystery that she watched, and there was a $100,000 insurance policy on the husband. So him and his wife over coffee said, you know, we could really use that money. Why don't we go dig up a body, put him in the car, put it on fire, and you disappear for a while, you know, wear a wig and dark glasses and go stay over in this hotel room, and we'll collect the $100,000. So they went and dug up a body and stuck it in the car and poured lighter fluid all over. I mean, they tracked them right down and busted them, and they're in prison now. Anyway, it was a good plan, but apparently they didn't get a good dead body. I don't know. The body they got was not a good body. It was kind of totally gone. But they thought their plan would work. It didn't. Well, our physical body, when we die, goes to sleep, while the person's soul lives on. A believer's soul lives on with God, while the unbeliever's soul resides in the place of conscious torment. I think of the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, 19 through 31. This is a fabulous story. This is one of those incidents where Jesus pulled back the veil, the curtain, if you will, and showed us what is on the other side of death for the believer and for the unbeliever. You recall the story. Lazarus was a poor man that was laid every day at the rich man's gate, and he begged alms, and he was mistreated. Dogs came and licked his sores. Jesus really knew how to tell a story to get his crowd into it. Well, the rich man, he lived lavishly in splendor every day, had everything. They both died. Well, Lazarus was immediately carried to Abraham's bosom, which is a euphemism for the presence of God. The promises of God through Abraham are realized for the Old Testament saint upon death. For you and I, as New Testament believers, when we die, we immediately go to be with Christ, and our bodies go to sleep. So that gives us a problem. What happens to our soul? What is our soul? This is where Dr. Pentecost had this great theory, and he supports it with Scripture. We get a rent-a-body. We get a rent-a-body. The minute we die, we receive a body. I hope mine is really cool. We'll all get a rent-a-body until the future resurrection, when our bodies, which have fallen asleep, rotted, decayed, and are gone, they will be resurrected, and we will be reunited with our bodies. That's what's being discussed here. Well, as you know, Lazarus was being comforted with God and receiving all his good things, while the rich man, being in conscious torment in Hades or hell, the place of the unbelievers, he cried out. He could see Father Abraham and he could see Lazarus there, but there was a chasm and there was a separation where he couldn't leave. They couldn't come from there to him and he couldn't go from them up. But you remember what he said to Father Abraham? He said, "Please send someone to my father's house and tell them about the agonies of this place and tell them to listen. Tell them to listen." And what did Abraham say? They have Moses, they have the prophets. Let them hear them. For no one, if anyone were to even go from here to tell them, they won't listen. That's pretty frightening, isn't it? Pretty sobering. We know from the New Testament that there is a specific order to the resurrections. There's four of them. And I've tried to make a little chart here for you. The first resurrection, the first fruits, is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8. Jesus Christ is the first fruit. What did he say he would do after 3 days? I'm going up to Jerusalem. They're going to mistreat me, beat me, kill me. But on the third day, what am I going to do? I'm going to rise. So he is the first fruit. And Paul tells us that through faith in Jesus Christ, we too, all the members of the church, is second, the church saints will be resurrected at the rapture, what we call the rapture. The next event to happen for you and I as believers in the church age, the Bible tells us Jesus Christ is going to descend on the clouds, and with the archangel of God, the voice, the trumpet of the archangel of God is going to sound, and the voice, "Come up here, my beloved church." And we will be caught up to be with the Lord. And we don't get to go before all of our loved ones who've already died in faith in Christ. They're dead, they're buried. They get their bodies that are asleep or don't exist will be caught up. God will call them forth. Their bodies will be caught up into the clouds, and their souls, they'll get rid of their rent-a-bodies, and they'll receive their eternal glorified bodies. And then we who are alive and remain shall go right behind them. And how fast is all this going to happen? 1/30,000th of a second. Then we too shall be caught up, and our bodies that we possess right now will be glorified. And many of you will be just as beautiful as you are now, but even just shining. You'll just be shining. It's going to be such a day. That's the next event to happen, my friends. And the Bible tells us that in light of all the things we see happening in our day that have come to pass in our day, they're coming to pass so quickly. We need to be looking up. And that one song we sang, "I'll Fly Away," they kept saying it's going to be in the morning. Some fine morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. I don't know if it's going to be in the morning or at night, but whenever it is, as Lisa says, we're ready to go. We're ready. Oh, what is it? Oh, that's true. Well, yeah, I guess that's probably true, isn't it? So, yeah, one half it's going to be night, one half it's going to be day. That's a good observation. The next group to go will be during the Great Tribulation, the two witnesses at the midpoint of the tribulation period. They will be on earth witnessing of the glories of Jesus Christ and telling people, do not take the mark of the beast. Turn to Christ. Have faith in Christ. And Antichrist and the people of the world will try to kill him because they hate him for this message that they're preaching, a message of life and hope. But they won't be able to touch him until the midpoint of the tribulation. And then Antichrist will be allowed to kill them. And boy, the world's going to rejoice. They're going to throw a giant Mardi Gras party all over the world, send gifts to each other, get drunk and party, because these two witnesses who tormented them with the good news of salvation through faith in Christ, they've finally been killed. Well, what does the scripture say over there in Revelation? After 3 days, their bodies will lay in the streets of Jerusalem dead for 3 days, drawn flies and dogs. And what, after 3 days, then God says, come up here, my faithful witnesses, and they'll rise to their feet and just ascend. Oh, that'll be so cool. The next group, Old Testament and Tribulation Saints. This is a fabulous study. I had never saw it before until I got to Dallas Seminary. I was taught this. It's hidden away here in one verse in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Daniel is promised that at the end of the age, he will be raised. When Christ comes again, after the rapture of the church, after the tribulation, Christ is going to return to this earth. And at that time, he will deal with Antichrist and throw him into the eternal lake of fire. And we read in verse 4 of Revelation 20, and John says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. The tribulation saints, all those that are killed during the tribulation for their faith in Jesus Christ, they will be raised at this time. They were killed because they refused to worship the beast or his image or receive his mark upon their foreheads or upon their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for the 1,000 years. The rest did not come to life until the 1,000 years was complete. This is the first resurrection. The tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded, all of those who had not worshipped, etc., etc. The tribulation saints also fit in here, and there's several other scriptures, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and chapter 15, 1 through 4. As you put these different scriptures together, this is the only place that the tribulation saints can be raised, because it goes on to say, blessed are all of those who have a part in the first resurrection, the resurrection to life, the first resurrection. The Old Testament saints will be raised, and they will go in to the millennial kingdom with all the rest of us. We will reign and rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And then the last resurrection is the great white throne. All unbelievers of all of human history will be raised at this time, and they will stand before the Lord, and they will be judged according to their works. How many people have you tried to share Christ with that they tell you they don't need him, they're good enough, they've got good works? Well, that'll be their time to present their good works to God, and the Bible says that everyone will be silent. What good works do we have? We don't. We don't have anything that we can bring but our sinful selves, and he graciously forgives us and gives us the gift of life through his son, Jesus Christ. So there's the resurrections, and I was going to put this on the back of your handout, but I forgot. So if you want one of those, I can print you up one of those and bring some on Wednesday night. Just let me know. Verse 3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Where does this verse 3 go? I mean, this whole context, you got to stay in the context of chapter 11, verses 36 to 45. This is in the future, during the days of this horrific tribulation, this judgment, this vindictive destruction by Antichrist. Those who have insight, spiritual insight, to not receive the mark of the beast, those we just read about there in Revelation chapter 20, all of those that were beheaded because they refused to take the mark of the beast or to follow the deceptions of Antichrist, they will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. They also who lead many to righteousness, those who are evangelists during that future day, they will shine like the stars of heaven for how long? Forever and ever and ever. Dr. Pentecost, because of verses like this, he also had another theory. He had lots of theories from Scripture because he studied the book for so many, all of his life, he believes that there will, that our clothing will be the radiant glory of God. And depending on, anybody got a dimmer in your house? You dim that thing all the way down and the bulb just, I mean, you can barely see, right? That's how I like it around our house when I drink coffee. Temple likes the floodlights on. I like to dim them down. Well, depending on your faithfulness and your service to Jesus Christ will depend upon how bright you shine forever and ever. Will you shine like the stars that illumine the skies at night? Will you be radiating the glory of God to full intensity and full strength? Or will you just be a dim bulb? It's service. We must serve the Lord faithfully. And as we serve, so we shall shine. And these in the tribulation, those who refuse, who have insight and refuse to be deceived by Antichrist and come to faith in Christ, they will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who evangelize, those who lead many to righteousness in those future days, they shall also shine like the stars forever and ever. And I think that we can apply this to us, those of us who faithfully serve, those of us who faithfully witness, we too shall shine like the stars of heaven someday forever and ever and ever. Those who have insight probably refers once again to those individuals who see through Antichrist's deception and bravely continue to teach God's word during this horrible time to come, the tribulation period. Their service to God and to his people will be rewarded, for they shall shine brightly like the brightness of the luminous expanses of heaven. In the same way, those of us who lead many to righteousness, those of us who evangelize, lead people to faith in Christ, we too shall shine like stars forever and ever. Daniel is then instructed to seal up the words of his book. Verse 4, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase." How many of you ever have heard that verse? I always used to take that verse to mean, we'll know we're in the end times when all these jets are flying all over. You can go back and forth. Men will rush back and forth and knowledge will greatly increase. We've got these supercomputers. I don't have mine on right now, but little tiny chips in our phones, that's a supercomputer. Knowledge has greatly increased in our day, just in the last 100 years. Look at how knowledge has increased. Well, if you've held to that interpretation, it's all wrong. I'll tell you right now. Let's see what it means. Daniel is instructed to conceal, or better, preserve the prophetic revelations given to him by God's angelic messenger Gabriel until the end of time. The words recorded in the book of Daniel would not be truly appreciated or even understood until the time of the end. Believers today, looking back over history, looking at what Christ has done for us, looking at the Old Testament and so much of it fulfilled, and equipped with the book we're going to start on next week, the book of Revelation, we can see the significance of much of what is predicted here in Daniel. Those living in the future time of great tribulation who possess godly insight and discernment will be able to gain spiritual knowledge from Daniel's predictions. So apparently this is a prophecy that in the future tribulation period, they'll be trying to get a hold of a copy of Daniel's writings. And when they look at them, they will understand them. They will be given divine insight to understand. And with the other writings and other words of God, they will be able to have discernment, spiritual discernment and knowledge. That seems to be what it means. Knowledge will increase. Scriptural, spiritual knowledge will increase. This is very applicable to you and I as well. If you want to learn to know about God, what are you going to watch? SpongeBob SquarePants or Judge Judy or what are you going to spend your time watching? What are you going to spend your time doing? If you want to learn about God, where do you learn about God? In his word, 66 books. He's given us his word so that we might know him. God's word is a revelation of himself to us. We can look up at the stars and look around at people, our fellow brothers and sisters. And we can gain knowledge, but not knowledge about God unless we're in God's word. So we've got to be in the book. And as we're in the book and spend time, God graciously and lovingly provides us with greater spiritual insight and knowledge about himself and about what's going on in our day and what's coming. Two questions. Daniel's listening to all this, and the questions come forward. Two questions concerning Israel's future sufferings are discussed in verses 5 through 12. Gabriel's explanation of Israel's future sufferings during the tribulation period lead to two questions. One will be asked by an angel in verse 6, and one will be asked by Daniel in verse 8. The first question concerns the length of Israel's future distress, and that's covered in verses 5 to 7. First, we have the angel's question. Daniel says that he looked, and behold, two other angels appeared and were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on the opposite bank of the river. And the one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, apparently in the middle of the river, standing above the waters, how long will it be until the end of all these wonders? All of these things that Gabriel's been telling us about, how long will it be until these things are completed? Commentators are divided over this, and we've discussed this in previous chapters. Many believe that one of the two individuals that just now showed up is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is above creation. He is the one who has made all of creation. He is above the waters, and the questions are being addressed to him. Others say no. This continues to be Gabriel, and these other two individuals that show up are just two more angels that show up to the party. You're in good company with whatever prediction that you, or not prediction, but whatever understanding that you have of that, you're in good company. Most that I've gone to school with believe that could very well be the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, as he's appeared, I believe, other times in the book. And others say, no, it's just continues to be Gabriel. So we'll just take it, just to make it simple, to keep it Gabriel, the one that's explaining all these things to Daniel. Two more angels show up now, and one of the angels says, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? Daniel and the angel Gabriel, who had been explaining the vision to him, are joined by these two angels. And the one angel wants to know how long until the end of all these things that you've predicted. In other words, how long would the events recorded in the vision in chapter 11, verses 36 through chapter 12, verse 3, describing Israel's final occupation and sufferings at the hands of the coming Antichrist, how long will that be allowed to go on? Gabriel's reply, verse 7. And I heard the man dressed in linen. Here's why some would take this to be a Christophany, the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and he raised his right hand and his left towards heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. Gabriel responds by raising his hands to heaven and swearing an oath by him who lives forever, God Almighty, that Israel's future time of tribulation and travail, what we call especially the Great Tribulation, would last for a time, times, and half a time. This is a reference to the last one half years of the future 7-year tribulation period. Israel, you will recall from our earlier studies in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, will enjoy a time of peace, protection, and prosperity as a result of a 7-year peace covenant that they will sign with Antichrist. And actually, it is that 7-year signing of that peace, that future peace covenant with Antichrist, that's when that will begin the 7-year tribulation period. And as we've learned in previous studies, Antichrist will break the peace covenant that he signed in Daniel 9:27, and he will reign in Jerusalem as king and demand to be worshipped as God. He'll do that at the midpoint of the tribulation period. He will become the greatest persecutor Israel has ever known, Revelation 13, verses 5 to 7. Israel's power, their arrogant self-dependence, will be broken by Antichrist's ruthless power, and he, in turn, will be broken by the victorious return of Jesus Christ, who comes from heaven in power and great glory. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Gabriel's reply to the angel caused Daniel to ask another question in verse 8 concerning the outcome of Israel's, of this future distress that's going to come upon his people Israel. Daniel's question in verse 8, "As for me, I heard these things, but I could not understand." How many times have we read that in the book? Where Daniel was sick for days, just exhausted, and couldn't understand the vision or what was being revealed to him. So Daniel replies to the angel Gabriel, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? I'm hearing these things, but I just cannot understand. This is just overwhelming." He longed to know what would happen to his Jewish brethren once God had delivered them from that future tribulation period. What's going to be the outcome? Gabriel's reply in verses 9 to 12. "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end of time." I'm not going to give you any more insight into this. Just go your way. Go and rest. Don't be concerned about any of this anymore. Because these words will be concealed, sealed up until the end of time. I don't know about you, but as we study the book of Daniel, and I'm trying to give you some insights into it, you might think I'm all wet. I don't know. But we are in the end of time, my friends, that we can open this book and understand these prophecies and see their relevancy and what has already transpired and what is coming very soon. That would suggest that we are in the end of time, and these words are now being opened to us where Daniel is told to go his way. He's not to concern himself with the particulars surrounding these end time events that have been described to him and that he has recorded. He's commanded to go his way and seal up, to preserve these revelations until the end time. As believers approach the end time, these events described in these verses, you and I are given the privilege, I believe, this spiritual understanding and insight to discern from the signs of our times that the rapture of the church, which will permit Antichrist to come to power, will be accomplished at any moment. I truly believe that. I know, they've been saying this ever since the fathers fell asleep for 2,000 years. But you know what I always say? If they've been saying, wake up, people, wake up, wake up, wake up for 2,000 years, how much closer are we to his coming to get us out of here? So I say to you this morning, wake up, get busy, because Christ's coming is at hand. And then you won't have any more opportunity. Well, let me go back for a while and get busy doing something so I could get a few rewards. Down with your dimmer switch. You'll be able to hear the electricity going through me. Some of you will be blinding. You'll just be blinding us. Verse 10. "During the coming tribulation, many Jews will be purged, purified, and refined, and come to embrace Christ as Savior. But the wicked, those who follow Antichrist, they will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand." They don't want to understand. They don't care. They're wicked. They've always been wicked, and they're going to continue to be wicked throughout all of time. "But those who have insight, spiritual discernment derived from God's word and Daniel's prophecies, they will understand." Again, those in the future tribulation period. And we can apply that this to us, I think. I think we can understand that all these things are coming to pass. Gabriel informs Daniel in verse 11 that from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. This refers to the last half of the tribulation, the 70th seven of Daniel's 490 years, which is 3.5 years plus 30 days. This is also designated as 42 months or 1,260 days. Many commentators are of the opinion that the additional 30 days mentioned here in this 1,290-day figure may refer to the judgments that will take place at the second coming of Jesus Christ. A good read on this is Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Gabriel concludes in verse 12 that those who keep waiting and attain to, now it gets even more confusing. Here's another 75 days. Those who keep waiting and attain to 1,335 days will be blessed by God. This additional 45 days beyond the 1,290 days in verse 11, 45 days after the end of the tribulation, Israel's long-awaited blessings will be realized. Dr. Charles Ryrie says this concerning this figure. He believes that this marks the beginning of the actual functioning of Christ's millennial kingdom on earth, which will take some time to set up and actually begin to function. So again, some of these things are unclear. I'm trying to share with you what some of the best minds in our day and past days have had to say about these things. The final command, verse 13, "But as for you, go your way to the end, then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age." Even though Daniel did not live on to see most of his prophecies fulfilled, the angel Gabriel counsels him to carry on. Be about the business to which God has appointed you, Daniel, and don't be so concerned about the future that you neglect your present responsibilities. Stay faithful at the task at hand. The angel closes with the word of promise that Daniel would soon enter his rest. Carry on, stay busy until you enter your rest, which is, oh, by the way, you old guy, 85 years old, it's coming. It's coming any day. But stay busy until it comes, and then you won't even know it comes, right? I mean, have a heart attack or whatever, stroke, or then you're gone. You'll enter into your rest. And here's the good news. Here's the promise, and you will rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Daniel's faith in God resulted in his living a life of faithful service for God, and for that faith and obedience, he will receive a glorious reward. All who, like Daniel, trust the Lord will share in the blessings of Christ's coming millennial kingdom and eternity after that with the Lord Jesus Christ. By way of conclusion, I believe Daniel chapter 12 is not only the crowning chapter of this extended prophecy, Daniel chapters 10 through 12, but it is also the conclusion. It takes you and I as believers to the high water mark of Christian hope, the assurance of resurrection from the dead. Chuck Swindoll. Closing story. A man and his 5-year-old son were driving past a cemetery one day, and they noticed a large pile of dirt next to a freshly dug grave. The little boy got excited. He said, "Look, Daddy, one of them got out." Daniel is promised that he will get out. Each of you is promised that your physical body, which will be asleep, will get out. We know from Scripture that when we die, we go immediately into the presence of Jesus Christ and get a rent-a-body until our physical body is resurrected on that great day. We are promised that we will get out. The next time that you drive past a cemetery, you might think of the promise that God has given us of our future resurrection. Couple applications. Seek to maintain a biblical balance. Don't become so obsessed with the future that you fail to serve God in the present. We need to carry on. We need to stay at it. The more time you spend with God, the greater insight he will grant you into his divine word and into his ways. Do you want to know what God's like? Study the word. Mark Bailey, the president of Dallas Seminary, was one of my former professors. And he said that ever since he was a little boy, his life goal was to get to know Jesus better. And his mom told him, "You want to get to know Jesus better? Study the Gospels, because they're all about Jesus' work on this earth, his promises, what he did and what he's promised to do. You want to know about Jesus? Study the Gospels." And I don't think anybody could teach the Gospels like Mark Bailey does, because he spent his life studying about Jesus. And lastly, pray for opportunities to share God's love and forgiveness with lost people. Gabriel promises Daniel that those who teach and share God's word, Those who evangelize the lost shall shine like the stars of heaven forever and ever. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the promises. We thank you also for the revelations of the horrific suffering that is to come upon the nation of Israel. We know that it is through suffering that you purge us of sin and conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray that you might continue this process. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to get into your word and study about you, and then help us to determine by your grace, by your indwelling spirit, to be obedient to that which we learn, be obedient to that which we know. Help us to pray for opportunities to share the good news about what you have done in our lives with those who desperately need to hear about it. Help us to never give up on people. Help us to keep loving people even when they're unlovely, just as you love us, Lord. We are unlovely most of the time, and yet you have set your seal of love upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this gracious provision. Strengthen our hearts. Fill us with joy now as we go from here. Well, thank you in your Son's name, Father. Amen. We have a closing song.
Everybody doing all right? I mean, come on. That's a night right there. I felt like we could have gone home, really. We could have had some amazing. Everybody get some moon pies and some RC girls. Well, if you hadn't noticed, we're just going to be on the front porch this evening. it's quite literal what we're doing here. It's, looks beautiful, by the way. So we got a new record coming out called Neon Steeple that I'm very excited about. Right? But here at Live 2014, what we're going to do is we're going to try to play some of these songs for the first time ever. And so your ears will be some of the first ears on the planet that get to partake in them with ourselves. So please be generous and sing along when you're able. Some of these will be new. We'll do a couple. I don't know. I'm going to follow the list and see what happens. So it'll be a surprise to me and you. It'll be great. All right.
You can start whenever you like.
I will rise. I will rise. I will rise. sweep away beneath the ground. Ain't no grave will hold me down.
Stand with me. Woo! Yeah, that's right. Did you like that song? I did too. That's real hillbilly there with a message. That is a fabulous message. There is no grave that's going to hold us down because we belong to Jesus Christ. And when he says, come up here, my beloved, whether we've already been laid to sleep or we're alive, we're going. May God go with you and bless you this week. May he give you continued success. I love the one line in there, all you got when you got me, Lord, was a dirty soul and dirty hands. Thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.